Back of Marin, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Ken Carmen, the 2016 post-draft special all across the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and joining us to talk about these 14 picks and the future of the Cleveland Browns. We welcome in the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, who joins us on the show tonight. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Coach, when you make these picks and you go through the 3 days of the draft, what's the difference between this group and some of the other drafts you've participated in?
Well, I think it's our process, our leadership group led by Sashi and Paul and Andrew and myself. You know, when I think back through the past drafts that I've been involved in, it's different in the sense that we spend so much time together making decisions together and figuring out what we think is best for our organization, where normally the structure, the traditional structure, is a little different. There's normally a GM, and he makes a lot of decisions. There's a scouting department, and they have a lot of input. Not that our scouting department don't have a lot of input. They do. So we're really traditional in a lot of areas, but we're a little bit different just because of how we're set up with our structure of Sashi and Paul and Andrew and myself.
Coach, what's the biggest number of rookies you've ever had come in before?
This is the biggest number of rookies I've ever had come in. I mean, obviously, this is 14 picks and another young man that we're able to acquire from Miami. So 15 total players. That's a lot of guys for a draft. But again, I go back to the guys that I work with. What a tremendous process that we had in place. It was something we wanted to accomplish. We seen an opportunity to accomplish it and was able to get it done.
So 14 guys come in. This is your first year. Are you excited to have that big of a group that doesn't know any different in the National Football League that you can kind of mold and really start to establish that foundation at the core of your team with?
Absolutely. I mean, these are guys that we picked. So at the same time, it's guys that we feel very strongly about that we think can come and help our football team and help us become better and get better. You know, again, 14 guys, I'm going to keep saying that, or 15 guys. I mean, again, it's a lot, but at the same time, it's going to address a lot of areas that we wanted to get better at.
Coach, and along those same lines, did you, in your talks with Sashi Brown, Andrew Berry, and Paul DePodesta in preparation for the draft, kind of tell them the attributes that you look for in a player, and even more so a player at certain positions, you know, toughness, raw athleticism, speed, and that way, because as you look at this class, cumulatively, they all have explosion, speed, athleticism, but yet they're very raw and able to be molded.
Absolutely. There were some traits that we talked about maybe after 2 weeks of me first being here, you know, with our scouting department and obviously with Sashi and Paul. And then once Andrew came on, we went back through him again, you know, to make sure of exactly the type of player we wanted to put on this team. And as you just said, there's a lot of physical characteristics we were looking for, but there was also some things character-wise that we thought were very important to molding a good, sustainable football team as we move forward. And I think all of us, to a man, felt very strongly about those traits, and that's what we set out to go find.
Was it black and white for you guys on this board in terms of character, that they were guys that fit the mold, and if you didn't, I don't care how talented you are, you're not coming to Cleveland?
I can guarantee you there were some guys like that, you know, that we just, you know, didn't feel comfortable with exactly where they were. Because, again, you know, it's hard enough as it is in the National Football League. You don't want to make it any harder on yourself than what you have to.
Right.
You know, these locker rooms are really a place of brotherhood, you know, and so everybody's got to be pulling on the same rope. And like I said, it's a tough grinding business. And if you're not all joined at the hip that way, it's hard to go win when you're kind of fighting against each other for whatever those different reasons are. And I think it was really important that we keep infusing within our organization and our building, our locker room and our culture, really good men who have a chance to be really good players, that are really good players, but really have a chance to be good people as well.
There's a lot of experience on this coaching staff. Does that make it more of a challenge, because you got so many guys who have been here before and have been through many, many camps and have seen a lot of rookies come in? Does it make it more of a challenge to have those 14 guys to show them what it's like, or does it maybe make it easier because you can mold them the way you want it to?
I think it makes it easier, because the one thing I will always brag about is our coaching staff. You know, obviously with Pep Hamilton and Ray Horton and Chris Tabor and Kirby Wilson and Al Saunders, I mean, I can go on and on and on. I'm very excited about the guys who have come here to Cleveland to help along with myself in this process. So I think we can coach anybody, anywhere, anytime. And I feel very comfortable with that. But at the same time, I think the players having the tools that give you a chance to become really good players as we move through this process was also important as well.
You mentioned Al Saunders. Nobody got more new toys in this draft than Al Saunders, as you guys drafted four wide receivers, including your first pick, clearly the top receiver on your board, in Corey Coleman. What are you excited about the four guys that you drafted at that spot bringing to this team?
Well, they're fast. You know, I think they're fast, big, athletic guys. You know, obviously Corey's not the biggest guy, but he's a tremendous football player. I mean, he can catch and run with anybody. And the other three guys that we have are somewhat in that same class. They're not Corey. They're all different. They have different strengths. But at the same time, they're bigger guys. They're athletic. They can catch. They can run. They're smart. You know, they're eager. They want to be a part of our organization, want to be part. You know, I think people use the word turnaround, you know, and I think all that is very important. But at the same time, they can catch and they can make plays. And that's what we were looking for.
And you've been very successful with wide receivers, obviously, in Oakland and then also in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. The rookies aren't here yet.
Right.
The veterans are still here, and you drafted four wide receivers. Have there been conversations with those guys kind of being like, hey, man, what's the deal? Or are you kind of saying, look, you got to compete, and if you're the best in the room, you'll be here?
Well, I think that's part of it. You know, there's no question the best in the room is going to stay here. But I tried to address that immediately, you know, on Monday, because I think it's important that you take the anxiety out of it.
Sure.
You know, at the same time, there are some really good players here and some guys that have done a tremendous job, and they will compete. And that's the great part about pro football. You never know how this is going to unfold until you give people an opportunity. And there are some guys here that truly deserve an opportunity. And there's guys that we drafted that are going to get an opportunity. So it's fun just to watch the cream kind of rise to the top. And that's really what pro football is all about at the end of the day.
There absolutely is. And another toy that you're going to add to your offense was Seth DeValve out of Princeton. Mm-hmm. And we had an opportunity to spend some time with him on Cleveland Browns Daily and talk to him about his career at Princeton and where he feels comfortable playing. And what it seems to me is, quote unquote, he's a mismatch guy, you know, because of what he does and what he adds offensively. Is that kind of the role that he's going to play in a Hugh Jackson offense?
Oh, yeah. He's going to be all over the place. I mean, he has some uncanny ability to make plays down the field in traffic. You know, he can run extremely well. He's a really good route runner. But the thing that I'm probably most impressed with him is he's feisty. You know, he'll fight you. He'll block you. You know, and I think some people don't see him that way. But this guy is 250 pounds. I mean, he's not a little guy.
Yes, and he's out there running jerk routes.
Absolutely, and he will go after you. And he has great change of direction and great hand-eye coordination. So I think there are some things that he can really do that to uplift our offensive football team.
One of the biggest questions, day two came around, Cody Kessler got picked. Mm-hmm. You're very confident about this guy. What led to Cody Kessler being picked, and what are some of the things that you just really like about him?
The thing I like about him the most is he's a very accurate passer. Mm-hmm. He throws the ball very straight to the people that, mm-hmm. that need to catch it. He understands the team game, that you have to take care of the football in order to win games. You know, he understands it's time to say uncle and throw the ball away, you know. And I think people sometimes forget the most important function of a quarterback is winning and winning games and putting your team in position to win. It's not about how strong your arm is or, you know, some of the other characteristics that maybe everybody else look for. And the things we value on a quarterback might be a little bit different than everybody else. But I see and saw and will continue to see, in my opinion, a guy who is going to ascend into the National Football League and have a chance to play when the time is right.
That night, you said, I know what everybody's thinking. You're going to have to trust me on this one. And it's been a long time since we've had a group in that's had that much cohesion, or at least that much confidence in themselves. How important was it, even in 4 months, a very short amount of time, to get everybody on the same page and then get those right picks in order?
Well, I think it's very important because I truly believe that, you know, the first two quarterbacks taken, I think everybody nationally thought we had a chance to have them be on our football team.
Yeah.
And those two guys are going to be very good players. There's no question about it. But at the same time, you know, for us, that wasn't going to happen. So we had to go find the next best quarterback in the draft for us, not for everybody else, but for us. And that's what we were able to do. And that guy is Cody Kessler. And I knew, and I'm just being very honest, I knew some people had an issue with that, you know, because people didn't see dynamic arm talent, or people don't see what everybody wants to measure quarterbacks by. But what I see is a guy that can play and function in a football system that we will put together here and play extremely well, who has tremendous accuracy, who is a tremendous leader, who has a lot of the poise, and he's tough, you know, and he's been through a lot of different situations. And when you look back on what he's been through, it kind of resembles some of the things that have happened here. And I think he has the characteristics, obviously, that we wanted, and that's why he's here.
Coach, you have had success with big, strong quarterbacks, whether it be Joe Flacco in Baltimore, Carson Palmer. Mm-hmm. But you've also, last year, people may forget, you guys were 9-0 with Andy Dalton, who is not considered to be the biggest quarterback. He's not considered to be the strongest arm quarterback in the league. It was about getting it out quickly mm-hmm. and putting it on target. Do you think the way that the rules have changed in the NFL, with the way receivers are not allowed to be contacted, that the game is actually becoming one more of precision so that you can get the yak as opposed to just being able to throw it through a barn?
I totally agree with what you're saying. And then there's a function of rhythm and timing, you know, that a quarterback has to be able to throw the ball on time and rhythm. And then you have to have enough playmakers that when he does throw it in those situations, you have special people catching it who can make plays. So it all kind of goes hand in hand. And you have to have a guy that can distribute that, you know, and play within that kind of rhythm. And again, that's why Cody Kessler's on his team.
And is that one of the things that drew you to Corey Coleman? Because when you think about it, a guy who leads the nation in yards after the catch per reception in that rhythm offense can make any play a big play.
At any time.
Yeah. All right, good.
Browns head coach Hugh Jackson joining us on the 2016 post-draft special on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
Coach, in a couple weeks, actually in less than a couple weeks, we'll have those rookies here for the initial rookie minicamp. And I guess my question to you is, how much are you going to throw with these rookies? Because it'll allow you to see how much they can comprehend. And then what are your expectations as a head coach coming out of that 3-day minicamp?
Well, I want them to truly get to understand our culture here and what the expectations are. Have them really truly get to know their coaches and back and forth both ways, where they understand us and we understand them a little bit. But to start to understand how we do things in the weight room, how we do things in the meeting room, because I think that's going to be very important to their success. And then to play with these guys a little bit, you know, kind of see the skills and talents that they have, because then do you only get a true, you know, identity of who they are and what they are. And then we'll kind of sprinkle those things into the rest of our veteran players and the rest of our offensive system to build a system. Our offense is nowhere close to where I think it would be by the time we get to training camp, because you got to take all the pieces and put it together. And that's the fun part, you know. So I need to really see them and fill them and have our staff do the same. But we'll get a chance to have them run around in shorts and sure. catch some balls and make some plays and kind of go from there.
We'll get to the defense, because a lot of defense was added in this draft. But let's focus on the offense for one more second. 14 picks. Mm-hmm. None of them were running backs. Mm-hmm. Have Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson really impressed you to the point where you felt comfortable with them, or is there somebody else that has really surprised you so far at that spot?
I'm very comfortable with our group, not just those two, but the whole group as a whole. I think we have some really good players there, and it's amazing. I've gotten so much mail or phone calls or people saying, well, wait a minute, why don't you guys have a running back? I really think Isaiah Crowell is a really good running back, you know. And I think he's going to have a sensational season. I really do. And I think Duke Johnson obviously burst on the scene last year, and I think he's going to have a great year as well. I mean, those two guys are as good as I've seen in a while, because they have some very, you know, their talent is extreme. You know, obviously Isaiah is very explosive. He's got quick feet. He's fast in the hole. You know, he runs with good pad level, and then Duke has suddenness and quickness, and he can go catch the ball with anybody, and he does so many different things that gives your offense a boost. And then we have two other young men, Mozart and then Winston, and then we have the kid Watson, who was in Cincinnati. So I feel really good about that group. Now, again, they haven't put on the pads yet, and they haven't done it, but I truly believe that we have the potential there to be really good at that position.
Nathan might have noticed this, but literally after the drafting of Ogba and Carl Nassib, I literally went and dusted off old notes because of Ray Horton and the hybrid defense that he has, because that was one of the main questions. He goes, well, God, they're great athletes, but how do these guys fit within this defense where, you know, Ray's been running more of a hybrid kind of defense with 3-4, mix in 4-3. How exactly do these guys fit within your defensive scheme?
Go get the quarterback. No, they are. They're very talented athletes. And obviously, when you talk about Ba and you talk about Nassib, those two guys went after the quarterback at a record pace a year ago. So they bring the element of giving us a chance to do some different things on defense. As you mentioned, Ray and the hybrid schemes that he has, which are sensational and, again, confusing the quarterbacks, is to give us a chance to have more flexibility, to have different packages, as you mentioned, so that our guys can go play at a high level on game day and give the opposing offenses some trouble. And that's truly what this is all about.
And right along those same lines, you guys opened the fourth round with Joe Schobert, who, again, very productive college football player, kind of a hybrid player in himself, because as we've, you know, had Andrew Berry in yesterday, he talked about his production, his ability to cover, his ability to rush the passer, making tackles in space. He's another guy that adds diversity to that defensive group that I'm sure Ray Horton doesn't exactly know where he wants to play him yet, but as you said, get him in, see what he can do, and then I'm sure he'll find his place along that defensive front.
He will. He is a tremendous football player, and he's competitive. He's another guy that knows how to go after the quarterback. He's been playing. He's played inside. He's played outside. He's done a lot of different things, you know, at Wisconsin, and he'll do a lot of different things here. But we really are impressed and happy with his skill set and what he's able to do, along with a lot of the guys that we drafted on defense. It's just a matter of, like you said, finding where their comfort level is, finding the things that they do well, and maximizing that.
Sure, and we do have to say that as Nathan and I were covering the fourth round, Chris Tabor, after the Joe Schobert pick was made, comes walking
very
through,
happy,
beaming from ear to ear. And he said, and I said, "That your guy?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, oh, yeah." So I'm sure Joe Schobert's going to be a contributor on special teams for you guys as well.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of these guys will. You know, these guys are all of our guys, you know, because at the end of the day, it's truly about this team. And I really believe we got a group of men who will go out and play as hard as they can play and do everything they can to help us win here.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about Emmanuel Ogba, because I can imagine pick number 32, if rumors are to be believed, was a very hot commodity in the National Football League. And obviously we have a propensity to acquire more assets. But in this case, we said, this is our guy. What was it about Ogba that made you see, man, we've got to have this guy on this team?
Size, speed, the ability to go after the quarterback. Very intelligent, has a passion for the game. And when you couple all those things together, I mean, you get this really good football player that I think a lot of people wanted, you know.
Yeah. Clearly,
I think we're in a great spot at 32 to get, you know, obviously, which was one of the areas we wanted to get stronger and better at, which was him. And so, Sashi didn't see any need to move anywhere, you know, and we stayed right there and was able to acquire him and still – later on, still do some other things that we wanted to do from an asset standpoint and pick a really good player at that spot.
14 rookies coming in. Of course, one player traded for over the weekend as well, another veteran. What is expected of the veterans as they get ready for this season?
The veteran that we just picked?
The veterans that you have on this football team.
Oh, God, get better. Improve. Expect to win. I mean, that's what this is all about. I mean, I can't speak, and I've said it before, about what's gone on in the past. I just know this group has worked extremely hard since I've been here in the classroom, in the weight room, on the practice field. And I think our guys are really putting their head down and working. I don't think we're worried about what's being said. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to be very conscious about what's put into our ears, because we're not going to get caught up in that. We're just going to get caught up in working and trying to get better and improve everybody's skill set. Because collectively as a team, we respect and understand we have to improve. We understand that our fans are expecting improvement, and we got to work to do that. You know, we got a dog pound to represent out here, so we're going to try to do that the right way.
Coach, just getting an opportunity to see you work these guys, the tempo that you're using. There's constant motion, constant movement, constant energy. Mm-hmm. And you said something that I thought was great, was that if you want to win, there's a price that needs to be paid, and we need to pay that price. Mm-hmm. What are the practices going to look like going forward in terms of just, because you're going to have an infusion of youth here, and you've already got these guys going at a crazy level. Yeah. Is that just something that you want because it's just such a fast-paced game?
Oh, it is, and I do. You know, you got to come out and see. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I would tell anybody, please come to practice. You enjoy it, but you can't take pictures.
That's right.
No video.
No secrets. That's right.
No, it's going to be fun. I mean, I think our guys are understanding, like I said, what I think it takes to win. And all we can do is work to give ourselves the best opportunity. You know, there's nothing guaranteed in this league, and we understand that. But as long as guys are willing to work and work extremely hard and we create the right environment for our players, then we think we got a chance to have success. But again, it's not going to come by wishful thinking. It's not going to come by talking about it. It's going to come by doing. And I think there is a price you have to pay in a National Football League to be good. And you got to pay it every day. Every day you walk in the building, Every day you go in a classroom, every day you go in a weight room, and it's really important, and I think our guys are truly understanding that.
Coach, thank you very much for the time. Of course, good luck during the camp next week, and enjoy the summer.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Head Coach Hugh Jackson joining us on the show. Coming up next, we go a little deeper and in-depth about some of those draft picks, and of course, start to look forward to rookie camp next weekend. It's Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and Ken Carman. It's a 2016 post-draft special on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network.